This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, welcome again to chapel. If you know me or know Dr. Dixon, you know both of us love to preach, and hopefully we'll have a chance to do more of that in chapel in the future, but today we're just going to talk. And the theme of our time in chapel today is going to be marriage and family, and we've chosen to entitle our presentation, Heaven Help the Home, which is actually the title of a book by Dr. and Mrs. Howard Hendricks, a great book about marriage and family, which I recommend. The reason why Dr. Dixon and I are presenting this chapel together is because we are fellow fathers-in-law. Dr. Dixon's son, Brian Dixon, is my son-in-law, and my daughter, Julie, is Dr. Dixon's daughter-in-law. And let us show you the family tree, how that works out. So you have Larry and Linda, George and Annette, and then Larry and Linda have Brian, George and Annette have Julie. They get married, and they have two children, Ryland and Emmeline. And they are today... Both graduated from CIU. They met here, and they're now living near Charlotte, North Carolina. And here's a picture of them. And Brian is quite handy with a video camera, and so he and our joint four-year-old grandson, Ryland, have prepared a video introduction for today's chapel. As you watch this introduction, you will understandably be tempted to laugh at different points, but we would ask you to try to keep your response inward during the video so that you don't miss any of the words, and then at the end of this little video clip, you can show your appreciation to Ryland, who incidentally is here with us in chapel this morning. Let's watch.
Hi, my name is Ryland Dixon, and I'm almost 5 years old. Now, you might think that I'm speaking in chapel today, but that would be crazy. I'm only five. Could you imagine a five-year-old as a chapel speaker? I would probably talk about David and Goliath, Josh and the Battle of Jericho and Bathsheba. I'm not your speaker. Those guys are. One is George Murray, but I call him Grandpa. And my ever-grandpa's name is Larry Dixon. So they have something really special to share with you today. I hope they're not too boring. When I grow up and go to CIU, I want to play football, but they don't have football, so I'm going to play soccer. Soccer's pretty cool, too. I scored 2 goals last week. Go Rams! I can spell Rams, R-A-M-S. Well, have fun in chapel. I'm gonna go biking now. Bye!
Now, in the very few minutes we have this morning, Dr. Dixon and I are gonna try to accomplish 4 things. First, we'll tell you a bit more about our life stories and backgrounds so you can get to know us a bit better personally. Then we'll talk a little bit about how we met and married our spouses. Then we'll talk about ways the Lord has helped us to keep our marriages and families strong. And finally, we'll talk just a little bit about maintaining a balance between family and your work and ministry. And as we talk back and forth, we plan to tell you about good things that we've learned and mistakes that we have made. So first of all, let's get to know Dr. Dixon. What is your current role at CIU?
I get to teach theology in the seminary.
And what courses do you teach?
Well, mostly systematic theology courses. I sometimes get to teach Greek when they need a little help in that department. And I get to co-teach a course called Integration of Psychology and Theology. And I've developed a new course for the spring called Heresies Old and New, an elective course.
Wow, cool. How long have you been at CIU?
This is my 18th year.
18. And where did you get your theological training?
Went to a small Bible college outside Chicago and got a certificate there and met my wife to be Linda. Went to Germany as missionaries, came back, finished my bachelor's degree at a Bible college in New Jersey did my seminary, Biblical Seminary, North Philadelphia, then did PhD work at Drew University in Madison, New Jersey.
All right. And after you finished your education, where have you been and what have you been doing before coming here?
Apart from the 2 years serving as missionary in Berlin, Germany, my family and I lived in Canada for almost 10 years, taught a Bible college up there, and then God called me to a warmer climate, South Carolina. So glad to be here.
All right. Where were you in Canada?
We were in the province of Manitoba near Winnipeg, where the motto is, many are cold, but few are frozen.
All right. Okay. Now, how long have you been married to Linda?
43 glorious years.
And can you tell us a little bit about your family?
I would be pleased to tell you a little bit about my family. That's when our son and daughter were quite young. This is a couple of years ago where my son Brian got tickets to the Sugar Bowl. We had a great time going there. Obviously, we share these characters in the middle there. Very proud of them. Our son-in-law Tom is with us today on the front row there. Tom and married our daughter Amy, and there's Isaac and Mary Catherine. And recently, we celebrated a little bit of trick-or-treating, and there are all four grands chewing on the decorations.
Yeah, that's great. And okay, so you have four grands. That's wonderful. And we share two in common.
Yes.
That's great. All right. Do you have any hobbies or interests that you like outside your job?
Well, I pretend that I'm athletic, and so I enjoy joining tennis teams. And in fact, for me, I enjoy joining a tennis team where I may be the only believer. It's one of my few opportunities to connect with lost people. And so I was part of this team that you see here. And my real spiritual gift is table tennis. And here's a massive trophy that I won recently.
Okay. Seriously, if you play tennis or play ping pong, this guy will beat you every time. He's really good. All right.
Let's get to know Dr. Murray a little bit. And what's your current role here at CIU?
I serve as the chancellor.
And you've been here for how many years?
It's 14 and a half.
14 and a half. And where did you get your theological training?
I went to CIU undergrad, got my bachelor's, went to the seminary, got my master's degree, and then I got my doctorate at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago.
And after you finished your theological training, where have you been? What have you been doing before coming to CIU?
Okay, well, we got married, and I'll tell a little bit more about this. We got married 2 weeks after Annette graduated from CIU. And then we went right to Italy as missionaries, and we served there for 13 years, had four kids. And then after 13 years in Italy, people ask my wife, how long did you serve in Italy? And she says, not long enough. And that's the way we feel, because we planned to stay there our whole life, but we were asked to come back and be the president of that mission, which we accepted. And I did mission leadership then for the next 17 years before coming to CIU in 2000 as president.
Can you tell us a little bit about your family?
Yeah, okay. We have four kids. This is our oldest daughter. She's a graduate of CIU, Heather, and her husband David and their two boys. Heather is the principal of a middle school. David's the principal of a high school. And then Laura, our daughter, in the next picture, is a professor at Penn State University in Pennsylvania. Her husband, Phil, is a graphic designer, works in the marketing department of a company up in State College, Pennsylvania. Our son, Frank, and his wife, Casey, and their two boys, Connor and Jack. Frank is works for a company outside of Philadelphia. Casey runs the front office of a dental firm. And then the ones that we share in common, Brian and Julie, and their two, Ryland and Emmeline, they live up in Charlotte. Brian is a consultant, and Julie has been a school teacher. She's now a stay-at-home mom, and she's here with us in chapel this morning.
Let's move on to our second objective today and talk about finding a spouse. And I would like to ask you, Dr. Murray, a few questions. And as we think about that, where did you meet Annette?
I met Annette right here at CIU, and for 45 years, she's been the love of my life.
How long did you date or court? They didn't clap for that. They should clap
I
for
know,
the 45
I
years. Absolutely. How long did you date or court before you got married?
Okay, we from the time we first kind of noticed each other until we got engaged, it was 2 years. We dated, yeah.
Okay.
And then we were engaged for a year and a half before we got married.
Got it. And how did you propose?
Okay. Here's a picture of the two of us out at the point, and I always say to the guys at CIU, get to the point, okay? And it was at the point that I proposed to Annette, and here's how it happened. We have been dating for 2 years. We were getting serious. I knew this was, you know, this is for life if you make a commitment. And so I suggested we take 6 weeks and not see each other. There were only 500 students on the campus at the time, so it's kind of small, kind of hard to avoid each other. Most of us didn't have cars, couldn't get off campus. We took 6 weeks. We did not talk to each other. We did not write. We did not call. If she came down this sidewalk, I went down that sidewalk, so forth. And after 6 weeks of praying alone, separately, we got together on a Saturday morning, and we walked down to the point, stood under that pine tree, which I can take you, it's still there. And I said, you know, I've been praying a lot, and I have three things to tell you. By the way, we're going to have a lunch after this where we're going to answer any more questions that you have. And my wife will tell you that her version of the story is different than mine. So if you want to hear, you know, more of the truth, come to lunch today. Anyway, so I said, there's three things that have become clear to me. Number one, I love you. I had never told her that. I did not feel that I should use those words lightly unless it was somebody that I really wanted to spend the rest of my life with. So I, for the first time, I told her, I love you. Number two, I said, I would really like you to marry me. And number three, I said, I'd like you to take as much time as you feel you need before you give me a final answer. And she was quiet for a second. Then she said, well, I have three things to tell you. She said, I love you. And she'd never said that to me. And my heart just melted. And then she said, and I would like to marry you. And I was like, okay, we don't need to talk anymore. and then she said, but I would like to have some more time to think about it before I give you a final answer. And my heart just went cold. And then really, no more than 10 seconds later, she looked me right in the face and said, yes! So those were the 10 longest seconds of my life. Now, one other thing I need to tell you, and that is, I'm just going to be frank here. When guys get together in the locker room and talk about girls, especially if you're not really walking with the Lord, which in my first years of high school I wasn't, you talk about physical moves you can put on a girl to get her stirred up. I'm just being honest with you, all right? You do this, do that, they'll get real, you know, they'll get real stirred up and they'll really fall for you emotionally. But you can also do that with words. You can use terms that'll get a person's heart beating. And I felt that it was not right to use those kinds of terms just with any girl. And so I never used endearing terms the 2 years that we were dating. I can't live without you. Every time I see you, my heart starts to beat, you know, and I'm really hot, or whatever you want to say. And so I had never said those things. That day, after we made that transaction at the point, and we walked back, and I had to leave that the rest of that day. I was going to preach up in a church in Rock Hill. Before I left, I wrote Annette a note. And in that note, I put every expression you can possibly think of. I mean, that note was so hot, it would have burned a hole in any box she put it in. So, I'm not saying don't say those things, but just use it at the right time. All right, anyway, that's how we go.
Do you still have that note?
Yeah.
How long were you engaged before you got married?
2 years.
2 years.
Oh, no, a year and a half. A year and a half.
And how old were each of you when you got married?
All right, 24 and 22, right? Yeah, 24 and 22. All right.
You know, we missed those questions with me.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow we skipped over those. I was only 21 and Linda was 19 when we got married.
Wow.
I can't believe her parents actually said yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, God saw us through, but as we'll talk about later, we went almost immediately to the mission field, and that could have easily destroyed us.
Yeah.
As a couple. We were way too young to do that. And I'd love to tell the story of proposing to her, but we could do that maybe at lunch.
Okay. All right.
Maybe at lunch.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of pictures you need to explain to us here, if you don't mind. Who are those people?
Oh, yeah. This is us when we were dating. And then here's a picture of us on our wedding day. And then here's a picture of us 10 years later. This picture of us getting ready to go to Italy for our first term of missionary service. Jackie Kennedy hairdo, yeah. And Then here we are 10 years later. And and then here's 10 years later again, and now all those kids are married and have their own families. So, I'd like to put a verse up on the screen.
Okay.
Can we do that? Here's a great verse, Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, I'm not going to expound on this verse, but I do want to say you don't find something that you haven't been looking for. So, gentlemen, listen carefully. While you're here at CIU, you need to be looking. You need to be looking. I can't tell you how many guys have come here to this school, and I see them years later, and they say, oh, I can't believe I didn't take advantage of the wonderful group of godly girls that were walking the CIU campus. And I'm saying, look, you need to do that. You need to look prayerfully. I'm not saying everybody's going to meet their spouse here, and I'm not going to say that some of you won't be called by God to be single or feel called to singleness or have the gift of singleness. That's all an important part, too, in God's economy. But I'm saying, you know, God made men and women, and he wants us to be married and to have Christian families, and so guys, be looking. All right, secondly, be chaste with physical expressions of romantic affection. I don't care what the rules are. That needs to be done very, very carefully because you're not married to somebody yet, and you need to be very careful and chaste. And then thirdly, use endearing terms sparingly. Remember what I talked about that in that note I wrote? Be really careful what you say. Don't just get people excited emotionally if you're not really thinking through a long-term commitment. And then post-marital counseling. By the way, one of the questions on here that we skipped was, did you have any premarital counseling? And I think we did have one session. My wife thinks we didn't. So you come to lunch and find out which is really, but if we did, it was very minimal. And I think it's really important. In fact, you said something about pre-engagement.
It seems to me that pre-engagement counseling is actually more important than premarital counseling. Premarital counseling says, you've already made the decision to marry each other. Now what do we do? What if we discover you're really not suited for one another, God's leading you a different direction? So pre-engagement counseling, to me, makes a lot more sense.
Interesting. All right. Well, I can say this. I have married quite a few couples, and I've done pre-marriage counseling with them, and I don't think they hear a word I say. They're too much in love. Yeah. So post-marital counseling may be as important as premarital counseling. Now, we did not get any post-marital counseling, but we should have. Back in those years, counseling wasn't as much of an accepted thing in the Christian community, but if it was now, some of the things we went through as we were first married, I probably could have been helped if I'd have gone to a godly counselor and just said, here's some things we're working through. Can you help me? So post-marital counseling may be just as important as premarital. Okay, Dr. Dixon, let me ask you the same questions you just asked me. Where did you meet Linda?
We met in a Bible college, as I said, that was outside Chicago. She came my second year.
How long did you date before you got engaged?
Yeah, two years.
And how did you propose?
Actually, I was on the basketball team and she was a cheerleader, and I had plans to propose to her at halftime. Her mother gave us a ring that she did not realize got set before she thought it would. So I had the ring. She did not know that. Mm. At halftime of this basketball game, our team was losing by 70 points. 7-0. It had a way of ruining the mood. And so we went to, after the game, I didn't propose then, after the game, the ring is burning a hole in my pocket, and we went to a place where we would normally split a little piece of apple pie, just being, cheap, being poor, poor college students, and I just couldn't wait any longer, and I pulled her into a dark alley. And I popped the question, will you marry me? She knew I didn't have the ring. She started laughing at me. I then remembered I had the ring in my pocket. I pulled the ring out. She started screaming. This is outside Chicago. I thought I was going to get arrested for something. All I remember from that night is I had the whole piece of apple pie to myself. She was so excited. So.
Couldn't eat it. That's cool. Okay, how old were you when you already said how old you were? Did you get premarital counseling?
We did. We did. And we did hear a few things. Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's go to our third objective and talk about how to keep our marriage and family strong. Dr. Dixon, you've been married for 43 years now.
Oh, I didn't show. Can I show some pictures?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I should have raced through these. I was cute back then, maybe. I love that three-piece suit right there. It's one of my favorites. I don't fit in that anymore. And there's her wedding. Kind of had to jump around the shower to get wet. That's how skinny I was. Why don't we move on and talk about keeping marriage and family strong?
All right. Okay. Okay, so you've been married for 43 years.
43 years.
Has it always been easy?
Absolutely. No. There have been some really deep waters that we've gone through together. And God has seen us through. But I'm very adamant against brand new married couples going directly to the mission field. They need to establish themselves and their home at least for a year or so before they go.
Yeah. And we told you we'll talk about mistakes. We got married a month and a half later. My wife got pregnant with our first child. And a year later, we were on the mission field and we were adjusting to marriage, parenting, Christian work, a foreign language and culture all at the same time. Not a good idea. We do not recommend that to anybody. And by God's grace, we did not crash and burn. But both of us have had similar experiences of trying to jump out a little ahead of the game and do things that maybe we weren't ready for.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what would be a couple things you and Linda have done to keep your marriage strong over the years?
One of the things that sustained us is communication, always seeking to keep those doors of communication open. As someone said, don't go to bed angry, stay up and fight. And so we've, occasionally stayed up and fight all night, but, resolving issues as quickly as we possibly could. The other thing that's really helped us a lot has been a sense of humor. And when we lost our house to a house fire, very, very traumatic time, wouldn't wish it on anybody, but God's grace was shown to us during that period of time. And months after, I might say to her, she might say to me, did such and such survive the fire? And our answer would always be, no, it's in heaven with Jesus. So having a sense of humor, even when life is really difficult, has helped us a lot.
And what about keeping your family strong?
I think spending time with the children, getting to know and be at their activities, having good conversations with them, seeking to have family devotional time. Those are challenges today with all the demands on families. And I think perhaps one of the hardest things is to learn to say no to all the activities that are thrown at your children that can actually begin hurting the family.
Yeah, and in order to spend more time together as a family.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And there is one statement that comes to my mind that I think is worth sharing, and it's this: if I gain the whole world for Christ and lose my own family, I've made a poor bargain.
Yeah.
I really believe that's true.
I believe you're right, too. And somebody else said, you can't be married like Peter and try to live like Paul. So that's a good thing to keep in mind. As well.
Let me ask you those same questions in terms of your own relationship. And has it always been easy for you?
No, it hasn't. And and in our first years of marriage, I was very inconsiderate of everything that my wife was going through. We had four kids and trying to go to a new culture and language, and it wasn't easy. And a lot of it was my fault. And I've also been guilty of making my wife a ministry widow, where she's where I've really put ministry before her and my family. And I've seen the error of that and the sin of that. And if I could go back, I would do it differently. The same thing with my children. They've been ministry orphans at times, and that's not good. And they don't complain about it because the work I was doing was the work of the Lord. I mean, how could they complain about that? And Annette actually will tell you that about 10 years into our marriage, she realized that she needed to speak up more and confront me with some of those things, which she lovingly did, and I'm forever grateful for that.
What would be a couple of things that you would say have kept your marriage strong?
Okay, well, I'd say, first of all, we can put these up on the screen. Keep yourself strong. Whether you're the wife or the husband, keep yourself strong. You need to have your time every day with the Lord. And by the way, my wife was having babies, and you know, babies just don't, you know, they don't understand. Oh, you're having your quiet time now? Okay, I'll keep quiet. No, they're going to be demanding. And so Annette came to me. We were in Italy, and she said, honey, if you don't change your schedule, I can't have any quality time with the Lord. So you're going to have to come home in the middle of the day. I can't have my quiet time early in the morning. The kids are up. They're demanding. So I changed my schedule. I came home in the middle of the day and I, you know, changed diapers and cleaned house and made some meals so she could get away and have time with the Lord and keep herself strong. And it's not just spiritually, but it's also emotionally and physically, you know, eating right, getting enough sleep, getting exercise and so forth. So keep yourself strong. It's like, you know, get on a plane and they say in the case of the loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks are going to come down. And if you're sitting with a child or with an elderly adult, don't put their mask on first. Put your mask on first. That seems counterintuitive to me. You want to help your kid first. And they said, no. If you don't put your mask on first, you're not going to be strong enough to help them. So put your mask on first. So keep yourself strong. Then pray together regularly. And Annette and I have done that since the first day of our honeymoon, and we wouldn't trade that for anything. And we found a time for us when we were first married. We tried to do it just before we went to bed at night, but I'm not a night person. And so more often than not in the morning, she would be laughing. I'd say, what are you laughing about? And she'd say, while we were praying together last night, you fell asleep while you were praying. So anyway, but we found a good time right after supper. We still do that. Proactively communicate. When we were first married, and I've done this periodically over the years, kept a little piece of paper in my pocket, and I would pull it out during the day and just jot down what was happening at that moment. A phone call, a conversation with somebody, something I saw in passing on the news. And then when I got home that night, I would say, here are the things that happened to me today. If I didn't keep that list, I wouldn't remember those things. And if I didn't remember those things, she'd ask me about the day, and I'd say, well, it was just a normal day. Well, what happened? Well, stuff, you know, nothing important. And by keeping that list and telling her those things, she felt valued, and it meant a lot. And it really strengthened our communication. Be a student of your spouse. My wife's the one that's taught me this. You need to really study your spouse. You know, you fall deeper and deeper in love the longer you live together, especially if you take time to really get to know each other. And the more I've known Annette, the more I love her. And that happens by being a student of your spouse. And then take your spouse seriously. I would say for the first 10 years of our marriage, I did not take Annette seriously. And, I listened to her, I was polite, you know, but then whatever she said, I would sort of say, well, I know better, and I'd go ahead and do my way. And I've learned to take her very seriously. God has gifted her just as much as he's gifted me. She has just as much wisdom as I do, probably more. And so God has really taught me so much by taking my wife seriously. Then in terms of family, real quick, just keeping family strong, establish routines and structures and boundaries for your kids. Have a daily non-negotiable family altar. You can call that quiet time, prayer time, whatever. We read the Bible, pray together as family with our kids. Put children's activities on your appointment schedule. I didn't do that for years. And then when it came time for their birthday, I'd say, oh, I've got to do this and I've got to be away here. And Annette's the one that taught me, put those on your calendar as an appointment, as important as anything else in your work or ministry. And when that comes, something else comes up, you say, I've got an appointment on that day. You don't even have to tell them it's your kid's birthday if you don't want to, but it's really important to schedule that. And then keep your word. Mean what you say, say what you mean, so that then you can ask your children to do the same. If you are truthful with them, you can demand them to be truthful with you. And we say to our kids, trust is built on truth. So if you tell me the truth, kids, I'm going to trust you. If you don't tell me the truth, I'm going to have a hard time trusting you. Trust is built on truth. Keep your word.
In closing, Dr. Murray, let me ask you about the challenging task of maintaining a balance between family and work and ministry. I've heard believers say that the priority, of course, is God. And then after God, of course, comes family. And then after that would be work, ministry. I've also heard others say, no, it's God, and then it's work, ministry, and then it's family. Which of those do you think is right?
I don't think either one of them is right. I don't think the Bible says that work, ministry is more important than family, or that family is more important than work, ministry. So look at the chart on the screen now. It's God who's first, And then family and work ministry are on an even plane. Both are equally important. My family is my ministry. It's not an interruption to ministry. It's an integral part of my ministry. But at any given day, it may be that work ministry needs to take precedence over family, or family needs to take precedence over work ministry. And you say, how do you know which one is supposed to take precedence? And the answer is walk closely with the Lord. Now, we'll talk about more of that at lunch, but just as we finished this morning, we thought Ryland did such a great job introducing the chapel that we'd like him to close it out too. So we're going to look at a little video just before Dr. Dixon prays. And Ryland's 4 years old, and he has a little sister, Emmeline, who's not yet two. And I want you to watch now as he tells us all how to get along with a younger sibling. And again, may I suggest you keep your responses inward so you don't miss anything he's saying. Then at the end, you can express whether you appreciate what he says or not. All right, let's watch.
Hi, my name is Ryland Dixon. Normally, my daddy makes videos, but today, the kids are taking over. Listen, this message is for all of you older brothers. Dealing with a little sister can be frustrating. She'll take your markers. She'll rip up your coloring pages. She'll drool on your books. And you'll get in trouble if you retaliate. So in this video, I'm going to share 3 tips to help you get along with a younger sibling. Stay tuned. Hi, I'm Ryland Dixon. I'm 4 years old. I like pirates and airplanes and drawing mazes. Having a little sister around the house is pretty cool. But it can also be frustrating. You know what I mean. So in this video, I'm going to show you how to get along with a younger sibling. First, remember that you used to be young too. You used to annoy your older brother or sister. Give her some grace. She'll grow up one day, but right now remember that she's still learning. Number 2, share your toys with her. I know this is a tough one, but sharing makes playing a lot more fun. It doesn't matter if she messes up your stuff. Your sister's much more important. Number 3, pray for her. I'll admit it. Sometimes little sisters can be frustrating. But when I pray for her, God helps change my attitude. I try to pray for my sister at least once a day. If you're having a tough time with your sister, start praying. You might just need a change. Well, I hope this video has been helpful. I'm gonna go get a snack. Oh, I almost forgot. Click here to subscribe to these videos. You get notified each time there's a new video. Don't forget to click the like button. No, Emma, don't press that! Dear Lord, help me to love my sister even when she ruins my video.
Okay.
Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we thank you for families. Thank you for the relationships you put us in. We thank you for the gift of marriage. We thank you for the gift of singleness. Lord, we thank you that you invite us into community to serve you through the hard times and through the good times. And Lord, we want Christ to be glorified and honored above everything else in life. Help that to be the case, Lord. Encourage each of us as we take away something from the talk today, that indeed we would seek to serve you with a whole heart. Dismiss us with your blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.